Okay, turn to Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus 23. And we're going to begin. David is going to read our main verse, which is Leviticus 23, verse 23 through 27. Yeah, that's basically it. Okay, Siri's helping me out. All right. Companies often during the year they take inventory. Sometimes they call this stock taking. And if you've ever gone to a store where the store is closed, it'll say close for inventory, close for stock taking. So they will pause trading so they can focus on counting. And that's very important because they have to know where they're at. How much stock do we have? How much stock do we need to buy? You can't do that while, you know, kids are running around, things are getting spilled. There are problems. So what they count determines what they do. We are in the last Sunday of the year. This is literally the last day of 2023. The text that we're going to read speaks of spiritual inventory. And this is one of the feast days of Israel. It's called the day of the Feast of Trumpets. But it actually was a time of spiritual inventory. So it'd be helpful. We have to do this. And if you want to be a man of God on any level, you need to take spiritual inventory. That's what we're going to look at today. Leviticus 23, verse 23 through 27.
The Lord spoke to Moses, "Tell the Israelites, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you are to have a day of complete rest, commemoration, and trumpet blasts, a sacred assembly. You must not do any daily work, but must present a food offering to the Lord." The Lord again spoke to Moses, "The tenth day of the seventh month is the Day of Atonement. You are to hold a sacred assembly and practice self-denial. You are to present a food offering to the Lord."
Okay, this is called spiritual inventory. Let's talk about the unexamined life. Human nature is that we tend to be caught up with the busyness of life. Unless you are an extremely lazy person, our time tends to be consumed. You got a lot going on, most of you. Our minds tend to be consumed. Many of you, you work jobs, you take care of bills in the house perhaps, or there are tasks you have to do at home. Some of you that are involved in ministry, if you are dedicated, then you work at your ministry, whatever it might be. If you are care for people, you're working with new convert. That is time consuming. All those things will consume your time. And then in your free time, most people tend to fill their minds when they have time off, whether that is reading books, whether that is checking the news, looking at the internet, whatever it might be, listening to music. So time pressure, mind being consumed. So the result is often we don't have time for reflection. And by the word reflection defined, that is we don't have time to look within. And so it is possible if you're just busy, busy, busy doing a lot of things, it's actually possible that you're busy, but you're not actually doing what you should do. You might not be doing the things that Christians should do. For instance, it's common there are people that I am so busy working for the Lord, they don't have time to pray. They don't have time to read their Bibles. Those are things that Christians should do, and busyness keeps them from that. There are things that if you're a disciple, disciples need to do certain things. If you want to grow as a man of God, if you want to enter God's will, there are things that disciples do that require extra dedication. So if you're just busy and consumed, you might not be doing things that disciples should do. And then there are individual things that God tells people to do. And that might not be the same as the guy sitting next to you. So you can have a clear word from God at some point in the past, and you're not doing it, but you don't realize it because you're just busy and you are consumed. In fact, it is possible at times that we're actually doing wrong, that we're allowing unhealthy thinking patterns. We've fallen into bad habits. We're taking actions that are unhealthy, maybe even to the point sin is allowed to creep into our lives. We can be drifting away from our relationship with God, our calling, but not realize it. Have you ever had this? Have you ever had a conversation with someone? Have you ever read a very good godly book? Have you ever heard a sermon and it hits you like, I am not doing what I should be doing? And that was a reminder. So if you never examine yourself, you probably, it's not going to work. It's going to be unhealthy. So let's talk about taking inventory. God knows, because he made us, he knows that that's what we tend to do. He knows that we just tend to get busy and focus on tasks. He knows that we tend to consume our mind with various things and not ever look within. So in the Bible, he built into having relationship with him a way of helping us with those two problems, busyness and being consumed. And these are what we call the feasts of Israel. There are three main feasts of Israel. They were, part of it was a celebration. That's why it involved eating. That's why it's called a feast. But the main point in each of these was that they were times of reflection. We read about one of these feasts, and it is called the Feast of Trumpets. And built within the Feast of Trumpets is the Day of Atonement. You may have heard of it in the Jewish term Yom Kippur. In our text, he says, you shall have a Sabbath rest. Now, we know in the Jewish calendar, in the Jewish system, Saturday, from Friday night until Saturday night, Saturday was a day of Sabbath rest. They went to the synagogue. It'd be like us going to church on Sunday. But the built into this was Sabbath rest. Don't work. Part of that, and that's a deeper subject, but it's symbolic of God's finished work. It is God's love for us. You can't work 7 days a week. That's not good for you. But part of this is it is meant to be a time of reflection. So we're reading here in the Feast of Trumpets, he says, you shall have a Sabbath rest. He is not talking about Saturday. If this day, you know, celebrations fall on different days of the year. It doesn't matter if this fell on a Wednesday. God says you will take extra Sabbath rest. Pause. I want you to take a deliberate pause, just like stock taking inventory. And the point of this, I want you to stop and think. I want you to deliberately review. I want you to deliberately take inventory. But this is spiritual inventory. If you never take inventory, you may never realize that you're drifting, that you're far from your relationship with God, your calling, whatever it might be. You won't realize that because I got to pay bills. There's an old Greek philosopher that said the unexamined life is not worth living. So let's think about this. They were supposed to take personal, spiritual inventory. Let's ask some questions. Here's some questions for reflection or taking personal, spiritual inventory. Number one, what things does God expect believers to do? Okay, every believer, you should be praying regularly. That should be a built-in part of your life. Reading your Bible. Actually, reading your Bible is supposed to be daily, the Bible principle, daily bread, manna, the bread of the Word of God is meant to be every day. You should read your Bible some. God expects every believer to be involved in evangelism, witnessing. So this is the most basic spiritual inventory question. Are you doing those? Or, as is often the case, are you so busy for God that you don't have time for God? I'm working on songs for my band. I'm working hard at my job. I'm, you know, cleaning the house. I'm paying bills. Okay, but have you neglected God? That's a spiritual inventory question that you have to ask yourself. Second question would be, what things do disciples need to be doing? Now, this is beyond. This is different and above things that every believer should do. Disciples, if you feel in any way that God wants you to be a man of God, you should be studying God's word. That's not just reading. You should be deliberately looking into God's word, whether that is doctrine, whether that is learning how to find revelation in a given passage, whatever it might be. Disciples should study. One of the first things I did when I felt called to preach is I began to study God's word. You have to learn to find revelation. Every disciple, you being a man of God is not locking yourself away in an office reading books and studying. Part of that is working with new converts. That's a skill you desperately need. You can never grow as a man of God. People ask me, I feel called, what should I do? Work with people. That's what you should do. Get a new convert. That would be ideal. If not, work with new converts. Have them over dinner. Form relationships with them. You'll see the ups and downs and the struggles they have. You'll have to lay hold of God. You'll have to be wise. You have to bite your tongue and not say everything that pops into your head. Disciples should be fruitful. Disciples should develop a supernatural dimension. Where in your life is anything supernatural? You should pray for the sick. You should seek the gifts of the Spirit. You should see breakthroughs in there. So, are you doing those things that disciples should be doing? That would be the second category question for spiritual reflection. Third question, what has God told you to do specifically? That might be different than any of these things. Is there something that God has told you to do? In any level, are you doing that? Or have you neglected the thing that God told you to do? Fourth question, what are you doing that is wrong or things that are unhealthy for you? Built into the Feast of Trumpets, which is this season or time of reflection, is verse 27, the Day of Atonement. And I can't remember what his word was in the translation. In the New King James, it shall be a holy convocation for you, which simply means meeting. But listen to this, and you shall afflict your souls. So part of that was they were supposed to personally reflect on, you know what, there are some areas in my heart and life, there are some areas in my attitude that are not good. I'm not doing right in one way or another. It is, if you're just busy all the time, you might not realize you're actually in trouble spiritually. You're headed down a bad road. Fifth question that every disciple, please write this one down. You need to ask yourself this more than once. What are your areas of weakness? What are your areas of weakness? I know many of you are really good at finding everybody else's area. I can tell you what's wrong with him. You know what he should be doing. What is your area of weakness? And if you say, I have none, you're in far deeper trouble than you realize. Because all of us struggle. Is yours laziness? Is it your marriage? Is it disorganization? Is it speaking ability? Is it consistency? I don't know. It's not for me. You'll notice in our style here, I don't just meet people. Come here. I want to tell you what's wrong with you. We've discussed that this week in breakfast sessions. That doesn't work and people aren't ready for it. But it actually is a question. Discipleship in some levels is self-motivating. It's self-governing. A pastor will help you. But if you're not asking those questions, no man of God will ever be able to help you. So those are questions that are actually taking inventory. And every believer needs to do it, but especially every disciple needs to do that. Final thought, let's talk about making atonement. Verse 27 speaks of atonement. Verse 27, the 10th day of the 7th month shall be the day of atonement. The word atonement has the idea of reconciliation, but it actually has the idea of fixing things, making things right. That's what it means to atone. Jesus died to atone. He made things right between us and God. So he says, you are to examine your own heart, and then he says, you're to atone, which is you need to make these things right. How do you make atonement? Now, please, the big picture here is that atonement only comes by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's salvation in general. I am assuming everything I've said so far is not to unsaved people. It is only for believers, okay? So let's assume that the blood of Jesus has atoned and taken care of your sin. You are born again, yes. That's not the atonement we're talking about. How do you make things right that are currently not right in your own life? Our text tells two simple things. Number one, atonement begins with the heart. Verse 27, you shall afflict your souls. The idea is, a simple word would be pain. In other words, you have to care about the state of your soul. When you examine yourself and say, I have become extremely lazy, or I am not consistent in my relationship with God, or my marriage is a mess, it's out of whack. God says, you have to afflict your, you better care about that. If you're a mess and you don't care, man, you're in deep trouble. You can only fix things if you care about them. In other words, when you see these things, you have to come before God and say, God, it is not okay that I'm not doing your will. That's not okay. It is not okay that I am not having a basic daily relationship with you. That's not a Christian rule. It's actually offensive to God. Any of you that are married, try not talking to your wife for a week and see how that works for you. See whether she will care or not. It's not okay. Second thing, there has to be practical decisions. Verse 27, you make an offering or offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. So he says, if you care, that's the afflicting of your souls. The offering made by fire, in other words, I am going to do something practical to fix this. So if you say, yeah, I realize I'm a lazy slob, and you just keep on being a lazy slob, that's not acceptable. The point is not, yeah, I'm a mess and I know it. At least I'm honest about it, unlike other, that's not. So in other words, it's practical. Have you let prayer slip? I am going to start getting out of bed and coming to prayer in the morning. I'm going to rearrange my schedule. I'll be here tonight before service to pray. I'm going to read my Bible some every day. As I have said in different settings, a big mistake that disciples make is when they feel they are behind, they try to make up for it. They make these grand vows, rash promises. I'm going to read 50 chapters a day. I'm going to pray for 5 hours. You're not. It's not going to happen. What you need to do is develop some consistency. whether that is praying for 10 minutes a day, whether that is reading your Bible one chapter a day, I don't care. Daily. You can always build up, but you need a daily. That's practical. You need a witness. You go on outreach or on your job or in your daily life. Is it still a part of your life that you tell people about Jesus? Are you working with people? Looking out for those that are missing, those that are hurting. Maybe it is your marriage. It's not okay if your marriage is a mess. You cannot be a great man of God and leave your marriage as a mess. You better find out why. And let me tell you, I don't care how deep of a mess your marriage is, small changes pay big dividends in marriage. That's a fixable problem, and you must. Discipline in various ways is a powerful part of being a man of God, is learning how to discipline yourself. So this is built into, this is the last day of the year, so it's a natural time for us to personally take spiritual inventory. That is not something that I can do for you. I have to do it for myself. You have to do it for yourself, and that's the idea of spiritual inventory. Okay, we're going to open for questions. Something you would like to ask David? Go ahead.
What are some examples of personal discipline?
Personal discipline often is consistency in many areas. Personal discipline, of course, starts with the basics of Christianity, reading your Bible and praying. That's the essence. For others, it's personal discipline is disciplining their mouth. How many times has your mouth caused you problems this year? How many people want to kill you this year because of your mouth? So how about if you would just pause 10 seconds before saying what pops into your head, maybe you'll have a better, that would be word discipline. For some, it's financial discipline. You have overspent, you have your credit, the amount you owe. That's an indiscipline, you know. So it's personal. That may be in different ways. Daniel?
Is there an integral connection between, as the text says, afflicting your soul and self-reflection?
The afflicting of your soul comes out of self-reflection. See, the notice the pattern. He announces the time, which is reflection, afflicting your soul, offering an offering. Right? That's the order. You think and reflect. You care, hopefully, about what you reflected on. You take action to deal with it.
So you mentioned studying God's Word and learning to find revelation.
Uh-huh.
So I know a great resource was a life application study of Bible.
Yep.
What would be like the next step to, like, can you kind of explain more?
Well, about in basics, there, it depends. If you're absolutely beginning, you can begin with a guide. Guides are often helpful. I've told guys that I began with Irving L. Jensen has these study guides for every book of the Bible. Actually, like a little workbook, and it works kind of like a study Bible in that he gives overview, but that in sections he leads you in a section and asks questions, so you have to think about it. Very first thing I ever did was the book of Luke in Irving L. Jensen. The Navigators have an entire series, all kinds of workbooks on topics, books of the Bible. That would be a way to start. But you often hear, and I know you sometimes are at breakfast, what we're doing at breakfast when guys ask me a question about something in a scripture, and I show them how to find that. That is choosing the parameters of a text. What is the key idea, key word that attracted you to it? You know, then learning how to study that out. So that's something you ask questions. You get somebody else who's farther down the road. What do I do with this? As a simple starting place would be write down what you don't understand, or write down what caught your eye for any reason, and then ask somebody farther along, what would I do with this now? This interests me. How do I study this? And then they can guide you. Those are ways that you learn to study, yes. And then in a big picture, I wouldn't make this your total focus, but every disciple, if you're serious, ultimately, if you feel God may want you to preach, you need to study Bible doctrine. And one of the greatest books and resources for us is a book called The Foundations of Pentecostal Theology. It's very deep. It's not something you're going to work through in a day or a week. That is something you would nibble on a bit at a time and kind of work through the Bible doctrines. In addition to others, I wouldn't make that my total focus. Good. Somebody else? Yep.
What are some ways that we can work with people?
Well, the two most common ways of working with people is, of course, new converts. Get your own, or there's a new convert coming. If someone else is working with them, offer to help. You want me to, have them over for dinner, help out. The other thing is if you want to learn to care about people, you need to develop an eye for them. A shepherd cares for people. So two things this morning, if you're a disciple and you want to learn how to care, number one, find out who's missing today. You don't just come, backslap with your bros. You are, who is missing? Somebody's not at church today. I wonder why not. I'll go visit them. I'll call them. That would be one way. Or you know someone that is struggling. You know that they're struggling with a health crisis, death in the family, loss of job. You develop an eye for need. You therefore get involved. How can you be a blessing to them and help? That would be some ways you can work with people. But definitely new converts is where that you'll learn so much. Somebody else? Question?
Yep. Is there such thing as maybe too much self-reflection?
Yeah,
sure. Obviously, you had mentioned in the busyness of life when you do no self-reflection, that's dangerous. But can you... For me, sometimes I can focus too much on all the things I need to work on and never what I might be doing right.
Sure.
Or what might be.
Yeah, that's a personality issue, sure. So in a personality, if self-reflection is never meant to be paralyzing. So if you ever feel paralyzed by what you're thinking about, you're overthinking. Back off. More do, less think. if for a person who feels paralyzed, yeah. And then, of course, if it's all just guilt, right? These are things that are, I'm not doing the right thing. I need to work on that. That's healthy. If it's, I'm a worm, I'm worthless, I can't even believe that God allows me to live, that's unhealthy. You're putting too much emphasis on you. So that person needs to back off. It's learning a balance. All these things are personal, aren't they? Right? Good. Daniel?
So the 3-day fast site, can I use that to self-reflect?
Yep.
Is there some different areas that you routinely self-reflect or utilize?
Well, I think, Daniel, as far as scheduled, no. Fasting is a natural time when we can reflect. Fasting, our fasts always do tend to kind of coincide with the beginning of the year, right? January fast does anyway. So that's a natural. The other is I pay attention to not warning signs, that's extreme. Remember I described early in the lesson, have you ever had that? I'm reading a book and like, oh man, I've gotten away from that. Or a conversation or a sermon, like, man, I used to do that more. That is a time where that's a personal signal. I think that's more how it works. I mean, you could, schedule in once a week or something, I suppose, if you were so minded. Most of us, that won't work for us. But so that's how it works for me. Twice a year would be my normal times, and then a signal alerts me. I need to spend some extra time in this area. Because, and the point of that, Daniel, is that God helps us, right? He knows what we need. So he's the one, I want to read a book. Hey, you should read that book. Okay, it just happened to be, I just need something to read. Like, whoa, that was for me. That God was helping me, right? So, yeah, he's involved in everything. Good.
So, oftentimes when I reflect on stuff, I'll talk to my wife about it.
Uh-huh.
Is that a healthy practice to maintain?
Yeah. Yeah, if your wife is a help. Sure. Some wives be like, man, I'm standing on the bridge, and dude, I'd jump. You're right, there's no hope. Let me tell you another 20 things you're doing wrong. Yes, that's very valid. In a healthy relationship, yes, you should. Negative side of being men is we hate to think that we might look foolish in front of a woman. And so some men, they never open up, they never tell their wife any struggles at all. That's probably not healthy at all. So yes, Lisa knows more about me than anybody in this world. Partly because she sees and partly because I am tell her as well. Yeah. Yep.
So in a work environment that's really fast paced, what would be like the balance between finding like times to witness in an example, there's always customers in the branch where I work at. So
yeah.
Like it could be like there's always like work to do at the time, so it's like always busyness and stuff. And there's
sure.
little moments and stuff where there's no customers and I'm able to talk with
yep.
some of my coworkers. What would be kind of more like, is it just like
yeah? So every job is different. Rule number one is you are there to work. So witnessing should never take you away from work. If it's I didn't get my job done, but I got to witness to three people, that's wrong, because that's not why you're there.
Okay.
According to God, that's not why you're there. So you have to find that. So for some people, literally the only time they'll be able to would be break or lunch, right? So be it. You should not feel guilty if the nature of your job. Other people, they have volumes of time. Witness at work is no problem, because it's not going to take them away. You got to find whatever place you're in. That's God's will is worked out in that environment. So that's okay with God.
How do you navigate in an atmosphere of like the company has a mockery of your church?
Yeah, that's healthy. Everything in life is good for you. So you gotta learn. It's at least you're not being fed to lions and dipped in oil and lit as a torch, you know. So yeah. So you have to often in that environment is you learn to stand. You learn to, as Jesus did, being reviled, he did not revile again. You don't go on the attack. You live a testimony. You show. By your lifestyle, by your work ethic, by your personality in many different ways. The Bible term is adorn the gospel of God. You make it attractive. So the Bible says you can actually refute, what's the word in the King James, New King James, gainsayers, I think. People say bad things. You can refute that just by the way you live and work. And so... So sometimes it's that there's no one answer for that. Sometimes as people, that's a silly. They have ideas that are crazy. That's foolishness. How do you know that? You ever been yourself? So you're believe it's Chinese whispers. I go there. That's not true. Sometimes that may be appropriate. Sometimes that won't be appropriate. Others, it's just you got to demonstrate over time. They're mocking, attacking, but your lifestyle over time will win out, and God will help you with them. It's all good. God helps us. Puts us in difficult situations for our ultimate good. Yep, JW.
Pastor, you mentioned you can only fix what you care about, so that's a personal thing. Uh-huh. How helpful is it to, amongst other disciples, friends, friendships, to share some of those things for one another, accountability?
Yeah, accountability is helpful, sure. Yep. Yep. So that's, you know, it's some helpful. It's not the total answer. But yeah, that is helpful. Have somebody ask you. And especially, JW, that is more for guys that lack consistency. It's helpful. Right? So it's very easy. I'm going to diet, but there's a jar of cookies. I don't think I will. So, but when you tell your friend what you're going to do, you go on record, and they're going to ask you, then it kind of, maybe I won't have another cookie. You know, I'm using that, but obviously we're talking about bigger issues. Sure. Yeah. But you got to pick those people wisely. You don't want to pick somebody who will hurt you with that later on. You can. Good. Somebody else. Thinking. See or no? All right. Let the reflection begin.